This is episode 7 of IDRA Class Notes.
We need to go to and bring that misconception, align the thinking, and erase that misconception. And then go back and do what IDRA knows how to do best, is to build on the assets that they already have.
I want to say hello to everybody, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. This is Dr. Bradley Scott with the Intercultural Development Research Association. These podcasts are really designed to be a tool for public school teachers and administrators, and to anyone who's interested in and has a particular interest in public education, to provide insights into key issues in education in the United States. We are with the Intercultural Development Research Association, or IDRA as we're known, as a small organization with a very, very big mission, that mission being to ensure that schools work for all learners. And so we are excited today to have with us Dr. Adela Solis. I'll tell you a little more about Adela in just a few moments. I do want to remind you that we welcome your feedback, and you can send your feedback by email to podcast@idra.org, or you can fill out the form on our webpage at www.idra.org/podcast. I also would invite you to subscribe to our podcast series, and you can do that free of charge through iTunes or other podcast directories. So our topic today is serving migrant students, and we are here today with a very, very wonderful person that I have worked with for years, Dr. Adela Solis. She is an IDRA Senior Education Associate, and her experience in public education is really expansive. It is extensive. She has been involved in it for more than 30 years, and she is an expert in program planning and evaluation, clearly brings many years of expertise in bilingual education and ESL instructional methods. Beyond that, Adela has her master's degree in bicultural bilingual studies from the University of Texas at San Antonio, and a doctorate in education with a specialization in applied linguistics from George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. Beyond that, I know that I have worked with Adela around issues of desegregation, and particularly with a focus on national origin issues and concerns. And so today, we are focusing on serving migrant students in our public school system. Adela, I want to welcome you today.
Thank you, Bradley.
And I want to thank you for being here with us. If you don't mind, Adela, I want to give you just a moment to frame generally some of the issues and concerns that you have around serving migrant students, including some of those things that we have failed to do with this growing population in our American public school systems.
Okay. Well, thank you, Bradley. Indeed, migrant students are a growing population, but they have been in our school systems for a long time. And indeed, since IDRA first got funded through its comprehensive center back in 1994, IDRA has been especially focused in providing services to school districts in the area of migrant education. I think what we need to know about what educators need is about insights that they need to know. It's about strategies, general strategies that educators like administrators and counselors need, but also and especially what teachers need. I think the unique thing about IDRA in its work with migrant students is the special focus we have in the area of instruction. Instruction is something that is critical for the students, and in fact, the entire migrant education program is about that. What we'd like to see is focus on instruction on a day-to-day basis, to have teachers understand the needs of migrant students so that they can help them on a day-to-day basis. It's important, too, to look at how students are not achieving and to try to help students with things like catching up with work they didn't do because they left early or because they came late. And it's important to make sure they get credit for courses, for classes they've taken, and that's what the migrant program does. But one of the things that we've noticed all along is that teachers don't really know what the needs of migrant students are. And in some cases, because as I told you before, I've been attending conferences and trying to stay up with the migrant education program since 1994, off and on, that I've seen situations where teachers ask me, well, Dr. Solis, when the school starts, I get a list of migrant students. Why do I get that list, and what do I do with it? So that has told us that, in general, teachers that serve migrant students don't know exactly what the needs of students are, specifically their instructional needs.
Well, so Adela, that is a huge concern, given the number of children in public schools who, in fact, are migrant students. If teachers are not properly trained, properly prepared to respond appropriately to them in classrooms, we're going to run into problems. I am aware that you've taken a huge leadership role in the development of some materials through IDRA, and I want you to spend a moment talking about, first of all, why those materials were developed, and then secondly, what those materials are designed to do.
Of course, there's broader issues, and we could talk about so many other things that IDRA has done with regards to migrant students, but all of them have focused on the instructional needs of students. And also, just working collaborative with other educators so that we can, you know, provide a more comprehensive service. So like I said, we need insights about what the migrant program is, educators at all levels, especially teachers. And so with that in mind, we created a module. It's called a CD and Guide. And it's entitled What Every Teacher Should Know About Migrant Students. And we produced this in 2005, and we were ready to have school districts try it out at the end of 2005. Administrators got this draft of the CD and the guide. And this summer in 2006, we actually unveiled the product to migrant educators in Austin. And the purpose of this guide is indeed to outline some of the key things that teachers should know, and along with them, other instructional personnel. So this is the way we've organized it. In terms of strategies, I'll tell you just a little bit. This little guide or in the CD are organized around what we call six components. And one of the things that these six components are trying to do collectively, I might add, is to erase misconceptions about what migrant students are.
So there's a deficit view about them?
Right. Mm-hmm. One quick thing is that they tend to think that immigrant students are migrant students. And as we know, especially here in South Texas, there is an overlap between migrant students and immigrant students. But immigrant students are a different population, and they're defined in the law, federal law, which is the most important one, you know, differently.
Sure.
So that's one misconception that we have. The other one, which Dr. Encarnacion Garza talks about a lot, is a misconception that the migrant situation, the mobility that characterizes migrant students, is what's causing the major failure for students, that it is that situation. And so we try to reverse that, because as Dr. Garza has pointed out, interestingly enough, he did a study of migrant students not too long ago, he and somebody else, that it is the very situation of mobility and what comes with it that we think is making migrant students fail that is accountable for their successes.
So it really is an asset then.
So it's an asset. So that we need to go to and bring that misconception, align the thinking and erase that misconception, and then go back and do what IDRA knows how to do best, is to build on the assets that they already have.
Sure.
And in fact, the whole premise of that is helping teachers and administrators understand what the system needs to do in order to do that. And in fact, that's what it does. In this manual, we have a section on successes, and we have a piece where we capitalize on former migrant students who are now educators.
Oh, that's great.
Who are now other professionals. So we highlight that, and it begins with that. Then the other things that we need to do in general, what we need to do in terms of thinking strategically and providing services to students, is to understand, first of all, that migrant students are just like any other students. They are to be served by the regular curriculum, that they are subject to the same high standards. So what we do in this guide is we have a section called rigorous curriculum, and we have teachers sharing to them what is a rigorous curriculum. What does it mean? So as you see, we're now trying to get that understanding that it is the system, it is us as schools that need to do something. It's not the student. The students themselves that need to be fixed.
And that the schools need to accommodate mm-hmm. what they do in their business to the students mm-hmm. and the characteristics of right. that learner.
Mm-hmm. So that in this guide, we began also by explaining what the migrant program does, because a lot of people don't know what migrant, they don't know that it's part of NCLB. They don't know.
Which is No Child Left Behind.
No Child Left Behind. And they may know something that is very obvious, is that when the children move north or wherever they're going to work with their migrant parents, that they do have support wherever they are. So those are some things that they do know. But what they don't know is that they're subject to the same kind of rigorous curriculum here in the state or wherever they are.
Sure.
So one of the things is, what is rigorous curriculum? And how is it that students should be afforded that rigorous curriculum? And the answer is not just here where they are in schools, in their local schools, but anywhere they are. And then we talk about support. We provide a lot of understanding and examples of what a supportive family looks like for a migrant student. The resiliency of children mm-hmm. actually comes out of the resiliency that parents show. So it's a very important thing for them to know that it's not just the children that are successful, but the reason the children are successful is because they're part of a family that's very resilient, and that the very mobility and all the challenges they face when they go up north. For
sure.
example, what happens when you are, and this is in the CD, what happens when you find yourself up north with a car that broke down with no money, you know, inclement weather, and how the child being 6 or 7 years old doesn't have to worry because she knows that somebody's going to solve that problem mm-hmm. for them. And so we build that part is letting them know the type of support that already exists within the migrant families.
So, Adela, let me ask you this. What are some of the special challenges that we who run schools and we who are in the classroom that we need to be mindful of as we are working to serve migrant students in a way that will allow them to meet the same high standards, the same requirements, for instance, No Child Left Behind, as any non-migrant child? Mm-hmm. What are some of the special challenges we should mm-hmm. be keeping in mind?
Well, surprisingly enough, they need to know just that, that students should have the opportunity to be part of a challenging curriculum, that they should be offered a rigorous curriculum. So that this challenge of making sure they understand that they are going to receive it. And the most challenging way is figuring out, well, how are they going to receive it if we only have them for 4 months? So building the knowledge about what the migrant program is and how it services is part of that challenge, because then they say, oh, it's us here in the state of Texas and them over there, so together we have to know what it is.
And how to create a support structure mm-hmm. for that migrant child, whether he or she is in Texas or in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And understand that through federal money, there is this big database where all of the information about migrant students is recorded so that everybody has access to it. So that's a challenging, is understanding the migrant program, because it isn't with that migrant program that you can see, oh, it is through this data system that we can have the information that we need to build a picture of what this student needs in terms of rigorous curriculum, in terms of course completion, in terms of graduation, and so forth. And of course, the most important challenge that we have is to work with teachers so that they can address the instructional needs of kids on a day-to-day basis. Here's the challenge. We know that a lot of these migrant students, whether they're immigrant or not, are students that speak other languages. Mm-hmm. And part of the work that IDRE is doing is focusing in instruction, is also in focusing on the culture and language needs of kids. We don't see that happening very much. So the challenge is where there is a need for bilingual education or ESL, we need to be able to deliver that for students. So that teachers know that migrant students are within the pool of bilingual ed kids in their class.
So, Adela, in this day and age, I know we're dealing with a lot of special tensions, and I know time is running short. If you can, give me a comment on this. We're running into problems around issues or special prejudices that seem still yet to be very much alive with kids who are migrant, kids who are foreign-born who are in schools. It's becoming now complicated with discussions around undocumented status and so forth. How would you, from your own point of view and given your expertise in this area, how would you help educators, teachers, and administrators to be able to separate those issues in a way and still focus in an important way on schooling for migrant, proper schooling for migrant students?
Yes.
What would be your recommendation or your comment to them?
About that? Well, what we'd like to do is to work with teachers and work with them so that they can work in a diagnostic way as assessing the specific instructional needs of students. And to have that focus is, what is a student like? What is he lacking in terms of instructional needs so that they can achieve in higher? So if we get them focused on rigorous curriculum, and we get them focused on delivering best practices, and we get them to do it in a diagnostic way, like, here is what you need in terms of math achievement, here's what you need in terms of building your language proficiency in case, then we can keep it focused and we can forget and not, or at least not think about, you know, who you are. Because in fact, the migrant program deals very specifically with recruitment and identification and recruitment of students.
Mm-hmm.
And within that, administrators have to deal with the issue of immigrants being, whether you're immigrant, the definition of migrant is so important. But administrators deal with that. And so for us, it's for teachers to, once the students are identified in the classroom, is to keep the focus on instruction. Keep the focus on making a difference. And in fact, the last section of the guide that we have is an educator's challenge. And the educator's challenge point on that. So keep your eye on what the kids need in terms of who they are.
I think that is such an excellent recommendation, Adela, that in spite of the politics of the of situations and communities and all of those things, if we stay focused on the child, that human being who's in that classroom and what his or her needs are, properly diagnose what their needs for learning are, and then provide rigorous curriculum to respond to those diagnosed needs for learning, that will serve the child's interest best. Am I capturing what you're saying?
And at least within the population we want to impact, which is teachers and instructional personnel at the classroom, at the school and classroom level.
That is great, Adela. We're getting close to our closing time, but if you were to make two important walkaway recommendations for teachers and educators, what would they be?
Well, they'll go back to what I just finished saying, is keep your eye on the price, and that is the student.
Real fine. I want to thank you, Adela, for this conversation this afternoon. I think it's so important. This is a population of students in our schools here in the United States that clearly we have an obligation to serve as we do with all other children. And I think that it is important that all educators in all communities across the United States keep this population in mind. It is a very, very distinct population in terms of its mobility. And we have to understand how we need to respond to their learning, I would think, their learning needs and requirements, just as we do with any other population of students. They should not be written off. They should not be thought of as an add-on or something additional. They are a part of this whole student population in public schools. Would you agree with
me? Exactly. That is the point.
Real fine. Adela, I do want to thank you, and I want to thank our listeners to this important conversation. This is just the beginning. We need to spend time talking about the research that is being identified concerning this population, and in a future podcast, I would love to get into a conversation with you around issues like that, as well as around how we connect in very important ways with parents as a significant a part of that child's learning environment and a reality.
And to push IDRA's point about assets and successes, because they are there.
Right, looking at the characteristics as assets and not something that is deficit that needs to be overcome. I want to thank our viewers also for your visitation with us. I will remind you that we would love to receive your feedback either by email through podcast@idra.org or certainly to visit us online at www.idra.org/podcast. I want to also invite you to visit IDRA's website and see the number of programs and activities IDRA has going on that serves the needs not only of migrant students, but all diverse populations in public schools. Dr. Adela Solis, I want to thank you once again for being with us today, and I am signing off by simply reminding all of you to take care of yourselves, because when you do that, you take better care of our students in public schools. I want to thank you for being with us. This is Dr. Bradley Scott from IDRA signing off.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.